So can you tell us a little bit about where this sample was taken, if it's downstream at all from Sulphur Run or Little Beaver?
Yeah, it was on Sulphur Run. It was about I want to say like a quarter a mile downstream from where it happened. It was really hard to get in there. I actually parked at the Masonic Lodge and like hiked in through the brush there, and like there was a guy, like a truck parked there, some guys like walking around working. There was a bunch of these like you can see in the video that I have on it, because I tried to record as much as I could, but then like I couldn't record while I was going down in there. So like I just turned it off and was like, look, I'm gonna go down there and get the water from here, but this is what it looks like. It did have like a rainbow sheen on the top of the water, which I didn't think, because all the videos I'd seen was people throwing stuff into the water and then the rainbow coming to the surface, which is actually like a natural thing around here. Like the organisms go dormant. I forget what it's called, but like people around here like that are like, yeah, that's totally normal. Like that you see rainbow sheens on all the lakes and creeks and stuff around here. Like that's not really, you know, like people, I guess, do a lot of fracking around here. There's a bunch of different things that that could be from. I mean, if you dump canola oil in, you know, it'll look the same on water, you know, on streets like in Phoenix. When it would rain, you'd see like rainbow on the top of puddles from the oil from the streets and stuff. So, you know, that didn't really worry me, but it did seem like compared to the other creeks, because I went to like four different creeks around that whole area, and none of the other ones had any kind of rainbow anything. I saw no dead animals. You know, the Sulphur Run was the only one that had the white cotton snake looking things that were draped across like every 10 feet or so. I'd say they had like, so they were clearly trying to like absorb something, you know. So, and I didn't smell anything until I actually got down like a foot or two away from the water itself. Like even standing up, like walking through, you know, the little foresty area, I didn't smell anything. Not until I was like right up in it did I smell kind of like I guess it was like a chemical smell. I know everybody says that and it's hard to be specific. I guess it kind of reminded me of like paint thinner or something. But it was very faint. Like it wasn't even like as intense as if you were to like paint a room and then go into the room afterwards. Like that room was more intense than what I smelled when I walked up. Like it wasn't even that like pungent of a smell. And I have a really sensitive nose, so like for me to be like, you know, like if something smells bad, I will straight up be like, yeah, that was terrible, awful, like making me gag type of thing, you know. But it wasn't, it really was like pretty mild. So, but I did see the rainbow sheen on the water, so I was expecting my results to come back with something. Like I really honestly, I was surprised when nothing came back. I mean, they tested, what are there, like 15 VOCs on that list? And nothing, they could all came back, and they didn't know where it was from. Like I just said it was from the creek by my house, and I live in Youngstown. I'm like, you know, 20 miles away. So, but apparently a lot of people had been coming in with tests, because she had highlighted on that piece of paper that she gave me, when I got the vials, she highlighted vinyl chloride and what was the other one? She'd highlighted two of them that were the main two ones that people were like worried about and focused on or whatever. And she said there was a ton of people coming in getting tests. So there's a bunch of private tests out there floating around. And
And
so,
nobody's
yeah.
publishing them. I think that's a
Yeah,
very
nobody's
important
publishing. Yeah,
aspect.
they're all private.
All right, something I think is really interesting here is how these independent testers are not posting their results, and many of them are basically going radio silence and even deleting accounts, deleting videos, getting hundreds of thousands of views. So I wanted to share three of these examples. This is one of the first people that popped up on our radars. His whole account was based off of testing what's in the water around East Palestine. He says it'll be a few days before we see some professional results. The actual scientific lab tests have been sent and should be received anywhere from 3 days as far as 2 weeks. And here's how it's going. Couldn't find this account, so he deleted his account instead of posting the results. And this is a common pattern that we see. Here's another example of this. Stephen Perry, everyone was pointing at this guy. Oh my gosh, good. We have independent auditor Stephen Perry on the scene, and he'll tell us what the dioxin levels are. But he won't. He doesn't tell us the results. Then we have this guy here. I spent 24 hours in East Palestine, Ohio. I will use the description of this video to update you on everything regarding the lab tests. And he actually says, in the second part, after the video we sent samples to a second lab as well. And we click on it. This video has been removed by the uploader. So I want to get your take on this, since you've been reaching out to people who claim to be running tests. What are you seeing out there, and what are your thoughts on this?
I mean, it's honestly not surprising, considering it's been months and I haven't gotten any responses from any of these people, because I've reached out to all of them and sent my test results and was like, look, here, I have test results. Where are your test results? Let's compare them. Let's discuss, you know, and nobody has responded. So, I mean, it's not surprising, but like the guy in the penny loafers that was talking about the dead fish, like right in the very beginning, he was pretty much like in penny loafers, no mask, no gloves, with the stick, you know, poking at the water. I'm like, and like Trump, like, you really think that he's gonna actually come and come to a place that's like toxic? Like, yeah, right. You know, like none of it. It all just seems way too political, and it just doesn't add up. Like, you know, they show pictures on the news of people saying that they're in hazmat suits, and then the people are not actually in any hazmat suits. Like, they're literally wearing jeans. I'm like, oh, I guess Wrangler makes hazmat suits now. Like, you know, there was one guy that he shows the image of the people in his yard working. He's like, look, guys in hazmat suits. And they're literally not in hazmat suits. I'm like, how, you could have just said, hey, there's guys working in the yard. But it makes you look like a total liar when you say, hey, look, there's guys over there in hazmat suits, and you can clearly see that they're not in hazmat suits.
It's really eye-opening to me. And I think you've gone through a similar experience trying to reach out to these people and following for follow-ups. And seeing, okay, where are their test results going to be published, and what are they going to find? Because they talk a big game, and when they're running these test results, they almost imply and suggest that they're of course going to find it. And it's just a matter of how much dioxin they find. But that's not really what the results show us. And many times they don't even publish the results. I find this extremely suspect. Like, these are political operatives going in there thinking they might find something, and then they can politicize it, but actually not finding anything and then just going silent. And that should tell us a lot. This is from Scott Smith's tests. What we see here are these flags, these qualifiers, J, I, and B. And I looked up what these are, and it's very, very important. So the B means it was found in the blank. So they also ran a test with like distilled water as their control to make sure that they aren't finding false positives. And in many of these dioxin results, it has this B flag. Do you see that here? B, 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 B,
yeah.
B.
Yeah.
That means it was found in the blank. But I think that's very telling. It's like, okay, you found dioxin allegedly, but it was also found in the distilled water control. That's crazy. And they don't say that. And he doesn't even publish these results. He's like, we found these dioxins, and he lists them out. It's like,
and
well,
he
flashes them
probably for like a second and then moves on like it's poison.
Yeah, they just flashed that report for just a glimpse. And it's amazing when you look at his Twitter, which is the main way he's publishing these, if you even want to call this his results. He just says, we found these dioxins, and he lists them out, and you know, it looks really scary.
Yeah,
but he's not
somebody
mentioning,
who, like, has no idea, like, what are all these numbers? Oh my gosh, there's 8. Oh my gosh, that's a lot.
Exactly. So I found some resources about this. Example table with data qualifier. So here's an example with the B qualifier, but there's also this J qualifier, which we see as well. B qualifier means the chemicals found in both the sample and a blank. When chemicals are found in both the blank and the test sample, the reported value is qualified with the B to show the uncertainty in the source of the contamination. Here's something else about the B qualifier. So it says the B qualifier indicates the analyte was found in the associated methods blank as well as the sample. It indicates probable laboratory contamination. This flag warns the data user that contamination is suspected. Also at the bottom, you can see it says, a blank is a sample container filled with distilled water from outside the test area. A blank should be non-detect for all chemicals. If a chemical is detected in both the sample and the blank, it is impossible to determine if the concentration reported is from the test area or some other source. And yet this so-called independent dioxin tester is getting the B qualifier. meaning the chemical was found in both the sample from East Palestine and in a blank in distilled water. That's a non-detect. So I found this to be very interesting. Like, what exactly are you claiming here,
yeah,
Scott Smith?
Are they using the same bottle of distilled water to, like, go, you know what I mean? Like, wouldn't you use, like, different, like, vials of distilled water for every sample? Like, that's the only way I could think that, like, the distilled water would have something in it from you know.
I don't think the distilled water has anything in it. I think their machines are just throwing up false positives. That's what this says to me. Like, they're trying to find such small amounts, minuscule amounts, and their machine's not able to do it. That's what this says.
You see, to me, honestly, like, this looks like it could be fake.
Like,
how hard would it be to just, like, type
so
up
easy.
Some numbers?
And he also makes some very suspicious posts on Twitter where he's like, yeah, well, you might not get these same results in the future because of how the water currents can change the levels at any point in time. He's, like, hedging his bets so it's not replicatable. It's like, oh, well, it just changed on us. But what's interesting,
like,
here,
oh, well, they cleaned it up. They must have done a good job cleaning it up, so, you know.
So let me just show you. I reached out to this guy, Scott Smith, in his DMs and just under his posts, and I was calling him out. This was before I saw his test results. I said, probably lower he would post the levels. Shameful. Like, I don't know how these people can defend this totally unscientific testing methodology where they don't tell us that they also found it in the distilled blank samples, the distilled water, which is basically invalidating their whole experiment. But they're just telling us what they want us to see, and they're framing it a certain way, calling for forced evacuations. So is there anything else you can tell us about following people for their test results and reaching out to people?
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's shameful is a good way to put it. And it probably, oh, look, he does have a, that this looks like the same type of little, like, vial that I got for mine. So at least this guy looks like he's using an actual, like, legit, you know, testing vial. So that's a first. But I don't think that his test results are even real. Like, the way that it's typed out on the top, like, if you look at the compared to mine, it says the address, the you know, everything about, like, the name of the, like, his just says, like, his name, and it doesn't even have the date on it. It doesn't have, like, it just doesn't look very official to me. Like, I don't know, I'm like, it looks like he just typed something up really quick in you know, I mean, yeah, okay, he made up some numbers, job ID, whatever. I mean, I'm not going to say, like, for sure I know, you know, whatever, but it's just weird. It's weird that there's not any other, like, anything about where he got it from. Like, which lab did you get this from? Like, you can't, like, I don't know. It just doesn't, it seems like he got caught and he's like, I'm just going to type up some stuff and you know, what's that program that they use, Excel or something, you know, I'm just going to type up some numbers real quick and, you know, detection summary. Like, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not buying it, you know, like, it's like compared to mine, like, and I mean, I would love to have a discussion with him, you know, like, with any of these people, but
they don't respond.
Since there's no way to get a hold of them, like, that to me already just tells you right there what their intentions are. They're not here to talk about what's really going on.
Right. But they'll go on these big platforms and scaremonger and tell people they found dioxin. Oh my gosh, everyone freak out. It's like, wait, did you actually find dioxin? I mean, can you prove this? No.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
Yeah, and at this point, like, it's not like we can control what they do. I mean, just like with any conspiracy, you know, all we can do is keep exposing them and, like, literally go door to door and inform the people that live there, like, hey, don't let these people scare you. Don't leave just because they come and like, try to educate the people that are actually there on what they can do to protect their property. Because, you know, at this point, like, you know, I don't even see a point in, like, trying to convince the internet of anything. Like, we need to be convincing the people that live there that their land isn't toxic and that their land is actually worth something, that there's actually lots of minerals and lots of this is one of the most beautiful places in the country. And it's like they're trying to demonize Ohio. Like, I've noticed that in all of, like movies, and, you know, they're always like, oh, you moved to Ohio, what's wrong with you? And I'm just like, dude, this is like, God's country. Like, this is the last like area where we're, you know, here in Eastern or Western PA is where the Amish people live. Like, you know, like these people don't live anywhere else in the country because it's not self-sustainable in any other part of the country. Like, you don't see Amish people out west because there isn't enough water there. You don't see them down south. Well, maybe you see some down south. I mean, maybe in Tennessee somewhere, but for the most part, they all pretty much congregate in this area for a reason. There's this area needs to be protected, and it's not going to be protected by outsiders. It's got to be protected by the people here that love it here, that were born here. And that's really like the next thing that I think we should be focusing on, is doing everything we can to help people keep their land instead of, you know, falling for the fear porn. So I'm really glad that I got the results that I did, because, you know, I wasn't sure what to expect when I got him back. I was like, oh my gosh, like this is it. It was like a huge weight lifted, because I felt like it was all a lie, and it just kind of like, it made me feel a lot better since I'm so close. And I was like, was worried about it, because, you know, I don't know what's going on. You know, like I hear all this stuff and all this hype and all these people freaking out about it. But, you know, the thing that's the most telling is the fact that nobody's talking to me about it. I live here and nobody will talk to me about it. You are the first person that's talked to me. You and Dave was actually the first person to reach out to me. And I was like, oh, like 2 months later, I'm like, finally, somebody, you know. So
you actually went to Sulphur Creek, which is the small creek nearby. But you're also a resident in a very close proximity. So tell us about that.
Yeah, I live 20 miles. Dave, actually, my buddy that you talked to, mm-hmm. He's the one that reached out to me on Instagram. And he is closer than I am by, like, I think he's like 10 minutes from me closer. But this picture came from my plumber. I had a plumber come to the house to do some work, and we start talking, and I actually got that recording, most of it, on my channel, because his niece was an EMT on the scene and didn't have any kind of health issues. She said that they were wearing like regular masks, like hospital masks, that but she didn't complain of, I asked if her eyes were burning, if there was any kind of, you know, because usually with like chemical, anything chemical related, like you'll feel it within like 4 to 24 hours. You'll be getting like the runny eyes and the throat closing up type thing, you know, all the symptoms would be happening immediately, and then they would start to go away. The thing,
especially because they say that it was the vinyl chloride cars that were spilling.
Yeah,
so that's a poisonous gas that would be everywhere.
Exactly.
Right?
But yeah, so that picture though was from I think I want to say 7 miles away, he said, I think. And he lives 2 miles away from it. So he said that there is nothing, like, he's like, yeah, it definitely smelled terrible. Like, he smelled something. It smelled like burning, like, tires or burning, like, something, rubber, plastic, or whatever. And that's what I got from everybody. All the people that I spoke with said it was, like, some sort of a burning rubber, plastic, weird smell. I thought that vinyl chloride was like a sweet smell, is what I've been seeing. So that doesn't really like go with the whole vinyl chloride. And then plus with that, what's that guy's name that did the video with the fog? I forget his channel name. But basically he said that, that all of the fog from the 2012 spill of vinyl chloride, it would have been like a weird white, like fog or whatever on everything. So
yeah, it doesn't match what we saw in Paulsboro, New Jersey.
Yeah, that's what it was. Thank you. You have to excuse me. I've like watched and I'm like re-watching some stuff that, you know, because it's been months since I went and did all of this. So, you know, like I'm surprised that, you know, that you're even talking to me. Like to me, like the fact that you're talking to me right now shows me that you're actually like real, you know, that you're a real person, that you're really trying to get like the truth or whatever that is, you know, because nobody even responded to me so far. I've reached out to everybody doing private tests, people doing, even people that there was a channel that did an interview with this like military guy that was saying the same stuff that we were saying. All his boots on the ground people were saying that it wasn't as bad as they're claiming, and there aren't any dead animals, and they don't, you know, they don't really know why everyone is blowing this up as crazy as they are. And I even reached out to him. He didn't respond. The chick that interviewed him didn't respond. So like, yeah, I'm Thank you. They're framing it.
They're framing it in a very specific way to point the finger at the plastics industry, at the transportation industry, and give the EPA kind of unfettered powers. That's what it seems like it's about for me. And I just want justice for the people in the vicinity who could have been poisoned. We don't know. And they're being fear-mongered relentlessly that they're like living in this cancerous environment. And it's all political. I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, even if they didn't get sprayed or like even if there wasn't something like that, just the fear alone will cause cancer and issues and health issues. You know, like that, I think, probably causes more issues than the actual thing that they're claiming is has been dumped.
Let's talk about the vinyl chloride aspect here, because that was the big concern. All the news media was saying over and over again, vinyl chloride, vinyl chloride, vinyl chloride, and dioxin. Those were like the Pavlovian trigger phrases that they wanted everyone to be afraid of. And you tested right in the close vicinity in Sulphur Run, and you didn't find any vinyl chloride.
Yeah, I didn't. The test results came back with nothing. I don't know, 15 different things that it tested for, VOCs is what they call them. So I'm just guessing a quarter of a mile, but it could have been closer. It was really hard to tell. And when we came back, like the first time I went, there was workers everywhere. This last time, it was some workers still, but it wasn't nearly as like congested as it was last time. So I think that since it's died down a little bit, we might actually be able to get some like hidden cameras in around there just to kind of like keep an eye on like what's, you know, what's going on. Because I think there's, I mean, the fact that they put in that giant blue, two blue containers and other, you know, it just seems like they're building something to be there more permanently. It's not like they just came in to clean up and they're leaving. Like they're putting in like, you know, what seems to be more permanent structures, which is what also, you know, leads me to believe that they really are trying to take over that area. And they really are trying to go after, I don't know if it's the natural gas or if it's the, you know, there's cobalt in that area, there's coal, there's, you know, there's a bunch of stuff. There's family-owned oil rigs that are in the area that apparently they've been trying to buy up for a long time now. So, and people don't want to sell and, you know, they shouldn't have to. It's like been in their family for however many years. Like they don't want to leave, but this would be a way to get them to leave. So, I mean, I think they did the same thing in California years ago with the fires, you know, burning the houses and not burning all the vegetation that just happened to be like same group of people that didn't want to sell their property like, you know, months earlier or whatever. So, you know, it's all too much of a coincidence. I'm not a coincidence theorist, you know, so.
You talked to somebody who was running a lot of these private tests. Were you able to glean anything from that conversation?
Well, when I first came in, she just said that there was a bunch of people coming in, getting their property, their own private testing on their farms and property. The woman that I talked to that lived within 2 miles, that was probably the most interesting conversation that I've had, because she had several, I think she said like 8 maybe, 3-day-old lambs that, you know, she was having to take care of in the middle of all this. And she said she couldn't see her barn from her house, which was only like, wasn't that far away, and because of how much black smoke was in the air. So I do think that, I don't think she was lying. You know, she said it wasn't a big deal. Like she had a cough, but she was like, I had this long before this fire. So this doesn't have anything to do with that. But she was the first to start saying like, yeah, I haven't seen any dead animals. She had dozens of chickens running around, probably, you know, at least 30 heads of cattle, at least probably around 30 or 40 sheep. And then 3-day-old lambs that she said are just fine. They don't have any breathing issues. They don't have anything going on. She's like, our water is fine. Everything is, you know, it sucked for that afternoon that it was burning, and they wouldn't let her son, you know, her daughter-in-law and her husband on the property. And they had to like go around the back way to get on the property because they have like blocked everything off. And thank God they had their like off-roading vehicles and like could get to their property. So they were like, my aunt or my, you know, my wife is in there. Like, I can't even get to her. Like, what, you know, and like, they just blocked everything and didn't let them in, but they didn't evacuate her. She was outside of the 1 mile. They only evacuated, I guess, a mile. So it's just weird that they, you know, evacuated a mile, but then wouldn't let them on their property. And she was there trying to, you know, manage all the animals and take care of all this stuff. And they were out, literally out in the middle of it. Like, you know, she was working in it. And she's like, I didn't feel anything, any health issues afterwards, any eye issues. She was like, I feel fine. And same with the other, I interviewed a couple that was at a, they said they were there for it for, forget how long, until they just left for a few days and then came back, and they said it smelled like burning rubber or something. So, I mean, I don't doubt that there was a fire. I don't doubt that they're messing with people. It's just what is it? Is what we're trying to figure out, you know?
And a lot of people were sounding the alarms, telling people they're going to get cancer. They need to move. They need to evacuate. We need FEMA to forcibly evacuate everyone. These were the talking points that were coming out, and we were hearing them ad nauseum. And what were they basing that off of is my question. Like, for me, you need to start doing dioxin testing and then see, like, okay, is there a heat map? We have a certain zone where there's a large amount of dioxin, and as you move further and further away, it dissipates. Because that would at least be some evidence that, okay, a large amount of dioxin was released here, and we can measure it and map it.
Yeah.
But I have seen nothing to that extent. Nothing even close.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything coming out from any of the people that, like, even that Erin Brockovich lady, like, she did in her PowerPoint, they didn't show any actual test results. Like, I was expecting them to, like, make some, like, forged, like, document that said something to, you know, be like, look here, you know. Instead, she said that 15 creeks were contaminated in the area. I went to the closest 4 creeks around that whole area, and the only one that looked like weird and suspect was Sulphur Run. All the other ones looked, there was no rainbow anything. Like, I didn't see any dead fish. I talked to a lady walking her dog. She was within the 1 mile zone. She said, no, we just stayed inside. Everything's fine. Her dog looked super old. Like, probably, like, you looked at it wrong and it would, like, keel over, and it was still alive. So I asked her if she, everyone I asked to, I asked if they know, if they have any friends or if they know of anybody that had any animals died, and they all just said the same thing. I heard about some fox on the news.
Right.
Like, that's what everybody, like, nobody actually knows.
Well,
let me
add to that, because I saw a very interesting exchange. It was somebody from the EPA and also the Ohio Department of Agriculture. They were having this round table with farmers, and there was a vet there, and they were kind of prying and begging the question for this veterinarian as to, have you been getting many calls about animal health concerns? And he said, well, from the media, but not from anybody else. So I thought that was really telling. I'll put that clip in right
here.
We have a local vet. So, Dr. Vet, if you want to.
We have seen zero cases of illness in any of our patients owned by our clients.
Yeah. And I'm sure you've had numerous, I'm sure the calls have probably been quite a few, as far as just questions from the community,
from the media, not from we've had zero cases.
Yeah, that's exactly what the answer that I got from everybody I spoke with. I just moved here actually 2 months before this happened, so I'm from Phoenix originally, and was in Utah and, like, mainly on the West Coast before I moved here. And so I was really like wasn't really too worried about it, because I just thought, oh, okay, that happens here, there's a lot more trains, whatever. And then I heard some lady, she was like a younger influencer type on Instagram, saying that she lives in Columbus, I believe, and that she was in Youngstown for like an afternoon. And she was like, look at my eyes. My eyes are so red. I was in Youngstown for just a day, and look at how bad my eyes are. And I'm like, dude, I live here. Like, my eyes aren't red. Like, what's going on? Like, what is this? Like, and then I started thinking, like, oh man, this is an influencer chick. Like, clearly she, you know, she's got a bunch of followers, a bunch of like half naked pictures of herself. And like, she, you know, like, I'm sure somebody probably, you know, gave her some money to be like, oh, my eyes are so red because I was in Youngstown for a day. And I'm like, okay, like, and that's when red flags started going up for me as far as this, you know, being suspect. And then I started hearing stuff in Buffalo and I mean, hundreds and hundreds of miles away from me, of people talking about, you know, like the air quality and how they're, you know, acid rain. Like the day that I went and got my tests, actually, it was the first day that it had like rained also since, I guess since it happened. So I would think that like the smell would be like, I would be driving around smelling it all over town, and I didn't smell it anywhere. Like I didn't smell anything until I was actually like in the creek trying to get a sample, and I smelled something in there. But it was, like I said, it was really faint. It wasn't super intense. It was, you know, yeah. So I don't know. I think that the people claiming, you know, being hundreds of miles away, claiming dead animals, claiming bad air, like my chickens would be dead right now. You know, like people that I know around here, their animals, my dog would be dead, like, because I'm 20 miles away. So how is it that there's people claiming, like, you know, 400 miles away, that this stuff is killing animals, and I'm like 20 miles away, and it just doesn't add up, you know? And really, dioxins, right. Like you spray Febreze in your house, that's a dioxin. Like, you know, if they're gonna go and test, like you could literally be testing the air for dioxins next to a woman who's drenched herself in perfume and come up like off the charts, I'm sure. But like, they're not gonna ban perfume, you know? Like, so I don't know, I just,
good point.
The whole thing is ridiculous.
Well, let's talk about the lack of testing data and the testing data that has been made public, and just kind of talk about what you've seen on the ground. So this is from the EPA. This is what they said about what they detected with their tests. The levels of dioxins found in the majority of samples ranged from 2.6 to 14 parts per trillion. So that's very, very low. Of course, these fearmongers want us to believe that like any amount of dioxin and we should run for the hills. But this is very different from what we heard from Indiana when they did their tests, and this was the actual contaminated waste soil. They were able to detect a little bit of these different dioxins in parts per billion is the units here. But it's all over the map. Like we have the waste soil 2 and waste soil 2 duplicate, and these values are pretty different to me.
Yeah.
Like 6.7 versus 1.1. It's supposed to be a duplicate sample. So it makes me wonder how much of this is just all over the map because of the inaccuracy of the testing. In this press release, they say, Durno, who's the EPA spokesman, it says, the results show that dioxins were found in the samples, but Durno says they expected that. We know we're all exposed to it. When we barbecue foods, we're exposed to it. People that smoke cigarettes are exposed to it. When we sit around a campfire, we're exposed to it. This is no different. We're exposed at very low levels. I don't want to fall into the trap of agreeing that there is a dangerous level of dioxin that the EPA can swoop in and take people's rights away and force them to evacuate, which might be the overarching goal here.
Been conscious for, you know, 15 years now about not drinking the tap water. So when everyone's like, oh, the tap water is, you know, poison, it's like, yeah, when has it not been poisoned? You know, like, you're just now finding this out. Like, I'm glad you finally figured that out. But yeah, the $100 million movie that they made, like, where did all that money go towards? Like, are some of these people in this town like being paid to, you know, like, I don't know. I mean, I just don't trust anything that's coming out on the mainstream about it, because it does seem very agenda driven, and it's the opposite of what I was hearing from all of the people that I've spoken with so far. And that guy that lives 2 miles, that plumber, like his EMP, niece said she didn't have any issues, you know. And I remember going out on a walk and trying to see if I could see a plume anywhere or anything, because, you know, like that Monday that they had apparently started the fire or whatever, you know, I was like, oh, I should be able to see, I'm 20 miles away, like, you know, and I couldn't see anything from 20 miles. And then that picture that I got from 7 miles, and I'm like, yeah, I would definitely wouldn't have, if that's really what it looked like, then I wouldn't have been able to see it at 20 miles, because you could barely see it at 7 miles. So, you know, the fact that they're photoshopping images out there to scare everybody, like that was like my kind of like red flag, like, okay, yeah, this is very, you know, suspect. And the fact that, everybody I was talking to was saying the opposite of what the news was saying, I'm like, oh, this isn't surprising, you know, let it, yet another. And then you hear everybody, you know, all these truther channels that I actually respected, like they literally were showing nothing but visuals from the media, from the mainstream, while saying the media isn't covering this. I'm like, but you're showing us images from the mainstream. They can't say that. And then, you know, like it just doesn't.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's so many channels I stopped following because of the dioxin fear mongering. I couldn't take it. I'm like, this is people's livelihoods. This is their farms. This is their properties, their houses. And it's already decimated the value of everybody's properties in the area, I'm sure. And it's just really disgusting.
The next thing that I want to do is actually, I reached out to a couple of farms that I went and spoke with, the one that had the lambs. I had her email and her contact info. So I sent her a copy of my results right after I got them and explained, I actually sent one of your videos to her. And I was like, hey, check this out. Like, you know, this is clearly, in my opinion, I think they're going to be coming after people's land. So if you need to use, you know, my results in court, you know, I'll show up in court, back it up. I'll, you know, like I have witnesses, like we have, you know, like we should fight this, figure out whatever, you know, basically try and be one or two steps ahead of them since we know what they're trying to do. So I kind of want to just start going door to door around there to different farms and different people and just have, you know, copies of my results and just hand them out to people and be like, hey, you know, if anybody tries to come after your property, just show them this and say, you know, they have no right. Like they're, you know, this test was taken on, I forget what day, the 23rd, I think, or the 20, I forget. It's on the top of my tests, but
24th,
thank you. 23rd, we went there first and then realized that I couldn't just get the samples in like a jar and I needed to like look at the vials and all that stuff. So we're kind of flying blind the first day. But I did get to talk to some people and that's what was really good. And I wish I could have gone back and gotten more interviews back. You know, I mean, I was only able to go there for 2 days. I know it's only 20 miles away, but I don't have a vehicle right now. So that makes it difficult for me to like get over there and do my thing. And I'm like not, you know, into the, like, I don't do this. This is not something that I just was like, oh my God, I live so close. I can't not like try to do something and try to talk to people and figure out what's actually going on because it just was so fishy, everything.
And what's amazing here is how hard it seems to be to test for dioxin. It's like this secret thing that only the EPA can test for, which is a recipe for disaster because we can't check any of their work. I'm amazed that with all this talk of dioxin, nobody was really able to put forward compelling evidence that it was even there. So circling back to the tests, I think it's really interesting that people are pointing at the Scott Smith test results and saying this proves that there's dioxin and we were right to call for everyone to be forcibly evacuated. And I don't think it proves that at all, especially with other people finding entirely different test results. And the fact that they found dioxin in the distilled water just really invalidates this whole procedure. And the fact that they don't tell people that they found it in the distilled water is a huge red flag. I think it's borderline fraud, frankly.
Yeah, it's deceptive for sure.
And let's also make note of the units here. So the units for these dioxin results here are in nanograms per kilogram. In the results that we have from Indiana's dioxin testing, they say that milligrams per kilogram are parts per billion of dioxin. Milligrams per kilogram equals parts per billion. So that means that Scott Smith is measuring in parts per trillion. And these are the results that he's getting. This one here, 20 parts per trillion, but they also found it in the blank. 3.5 parts per trillion, but they also found it in the blank sample. 0.46 parts per trillion, they also found it in the blank sample. The rest of these are very small, less than one numbers. I guess at the bottom here, these are the totals for dioxins and the furans. And again, parts per trillion, less than 10 for many of these. This one is 20. But these are very small levels. And the fact that they found it in the distilled water blanks for all of them invalidates the entire claim. And the fact they don't say it, I know I'm like a broken record here, but that's disqualifying. That's a non-starter if they're not going to report everything about their test results.
Yeah, that's suspect for sure. If they were transparent about it and were like, hey, so this is kind of weird, and they pointed that out, then that would, like, they would get brownie points in my book. Like, okay, well, at least they're being honest and transparent about the fact that the distilled water is coming up and that other things are, you know, that it's a very low amount. It's not, you know, we're not talking like some crazy high amounts of stuff here. Like this lab that I went to was a privately owned lab, but like, you know, It's not like I have, like, you can't just go and get the equipment and like do it yourself at your house. Like, I mean, maybe you could if you spent like a ton of money, but that's actually something I want to look into and see, like, is it possible to like purchase all of the equipment, or do you need to have like a certain licensing and certain, you know, like some sort of a degree or some sort of like a pole somewhere in order to even get the machines that they use. Cause I know like they, in the place that I went to, they had a bunch of like kind of, you know, fancy looking machines and stuff that looked really expensive and everything that they put the samples into. I mean, I don't know if they put my samples in those machines or if that was for something else. I don't know, but I would like to go back. That was a good idea for you to ask me if, like, you know, what that lady at the lab said. I kind of want to go back and interview her and see if she seemed pretty friendly, you know.
But she wasn't like freaking out, it doesn't sound like, and saying,
no,
oh, you have
no,
to get these extended tests, and oh my gosh, we had these other people run these tests and we found all this horrible stuff.
Yeah, she was really calm. I called her too after I got the results and was like, hey, I just want to like double check that I'm reading this correctly, because I'm new to this and I'm just trying to, you know, figure out, like, is there anything that came up like at all on and anything? And she's like, nope, everything comes up BDL. Like, she was looking at my, you know, at my labs, like, you know, as she was talking to me, and said, no, everything came up fine. And I said, I actually did ask her if she had had anybody, any tests come back. And she said, no, we haven't had anything come back with it positive. So that's a good sign. And I'm like, yeah, that's cool. But, you know, but like I said, I still even almost don't trust my own test, because that's how little I trust people.
Right.
So, the fact that I came back, you know, 2 months later, and it looks like they have like permanent infrastructures and two huge blue giant tanks all of a sudden there that weren't there before. Like, you know, that to me tells me this is definitely not ending anytime soon. And from what it sounds like from what Dave was saying with his research, that in 2011 or 12 was when they were buying people's mineral rights from them around East Palestine. And there was a lot of people that wouldn't sell them, apparently. So that's, you know, I mean, I don't think that it just started this year. I think this has been ongoing for many years. They've been trying to get people's rights and get people to give up their land and sell their land for a long time, just like in California, before they were trying to put in that big rail or whatever. So just like all their other schemes, like, it's probably going to be like 10-year long thing, or 20 years, or who knows how long it'll be before they actually get to, you know, like, and I think that they do that on purpose, you know, because we forget about it. We have a short attention span, you know, we like, there's so many things being thrown at us left and right. Like, you know, even with, I'm living here and I still find myself being like distracted with other things and looking into other topics and, you know, stuff that doesn't have anything to do with this, even though I'm living here and I should be like hitting the streets more and I should be doing more. Like, at the same time, like, it's, you know, you also got to live your life, and you also have, you know, your own stuff that you got to do and other interests and other things. And, but I definitely don't think it's over. I think they're going to be ramping it back up again, and they're going to be, there'll be some other train thing, or there'll be something else that happens there that, you know, it'll just be the, this is just the catalyst. Like, the normal people don't understand, and they just hear the fear, and then they start freaking out, and they'll just give their rights away. That's why, to me, like, the most important thing is to try to go educate the people that live here so that they don't just give their rights away, because that's the only way they're going to win. You know, if we go to court and we show, hey, no, these test results came back like this, that, and the other thing, you have no right to be here, and if we win in court, then we win. You know, that's what happened with the Amish in PA. You know, they were trying to keep them from having their meat sold, and they were following all the rules that they needed to follow. They had to go to court. It was like this big, you know, like 6 month long ordeal, but they won in court at the end of the day. So, you know, as long as we take the proper steps to, like, you know, like, educate these people and not allow that, you know, not let them, but basically inform them so that they don't just go signing everything away. Cause that's really the only way that's our only defense right now, is to, like, get in the heads of the people that actually are here, you know? So that's my next goal, my next mission. So try
awesome.
And go talk to people.
Yeah. But, that's a good strategy.
And I know Dave wants to come with, and so we'll definitely record it, and he'll put out videos. I'm over doing videos. I didn't want to do videos to begin with. I just felt like I needed to get the information out some way or another.